Timothy 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. That was a good lesson that we had last week, Alan, and it made me think a lot about what I wanted to do for my Sunday school this week. And I'd like to talk about a subject that is not heard a lot today, but yet needs to be brought out in the Word of God. You know, the Bible says over in Ephesians, you turn in 1 Timothy 1, in Ephesians 4, verse 14, we have the warning about error over there. The Holy Spirit describes about false teaching as wind, air in motion, windy preachers, but not solid. You know, wind is something that is blowing around, tossing to and fro, and you don't know where you're going to land. But doctrine speaks about like building blocks. You know, our church is a house of doctrine. It really is, truly. Doctrine just means teaching. That's all it means. And we have much teaching in the Word of God. In fact, that's what is the Word of God has given to us, that we might learn. And so over here in 1 Timothy, we want you to see the imperative of sound doctrine over here. You know, where God emphasizes doctrine, man de-emphasizes doctrine, you know, man that is religious. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, in verse 1 down to verse 4, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's our lively hope, our sure hope, and the return of him is our blessed hope. And so unto Timothy, he writes, young Timothy, my own son in the faith, that is, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now he goes right into the letter talking to Timothy about, look at verse 3. Interesting. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, and here, you know, we think about the church at Ephesus over there that was established. When I went into Macedonia, you to abide at Ephesus, and while you're there, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. People, you know, it's like that one preacher, you know, he was a liberal preacher. And at the end of the service, as the people were going out the door, you know, the two old women there, as they were exiting, they said to the pastor, they said, Pastor, we love you. You don't preach no doctrine or nothing. We just love you, Lord. Such a liberal preacher that you are, doctor, so with all your PhDs. But he goes on to say here, very seriously, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. In other words, there are other doctrines that creep in. Men creep in unaware, as Jude tells us about. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Don't get off the track. Stay with the Word of God. Amen. The building blocks for our faith, the building blocks for our life. And he says there, which minister questions, these genealogies, fables, they endless they are, which minister questions and with no answers, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, and hearing the teaching of God. Now, the end of the commandments, charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. There it is. What a trichotomy I am there, right there in that verse right there. He talks about charity, which is out of a pure heart, good conscience, and faith unfeigned. When we think of that word unfeigned, faith, you know, yes, the heart needs to be pure, but the doctrine needs to be clean also. No additives to it. It needs to be pure doctrine, clean doctrine, the Word of God. You know, thus saith the Lord, and leave it there. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. As way back in the Old Testament, we're told back in the Pentateuch that we shouldn't add to God's Word or take from it. And anybody that does, we're told about the punishment for those that would do such. Well, hear what we see here. We want to bring out down and look now real fast forward to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Okay, here I am. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, you know what a pillar is, and you know what the ground is, that the solid foundation there should be laid For the church, the Lord has laid the foundation, no other foundation but the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ, doctrine of Christ, all the teaching of Christ, and that's what is our foundation, safe and sure. But he says there in verse 15 that church of the living God is the pillar and ground of, and I want you to notice that, the pillar and ground of truth. The pillar and ground, the ground, the foundation is built upon truth, the truth of the Word of God. The pillar is what something you see, right? It's something that should be seen. It's something that should be seen and heard. And of course, you know, seeing and hearing is two different important issues when we are deporting of our faith. That is, that our representation of our faith in Christ. What I'm getting at is that we find there's a de-emphasizing of doctrine today. People take, you know, I want to look for a church where, you know, I don't want to get into a church where they just doctrine, you know. And one fellow said, preacher, I'm so thankful, I just don't want that doctrine or nothing. And when you don't have doctrine, you have nothing. And we find a lot of de-emphasizing of doctrine. Like I say, that God emphasizes doctrine, man de-emphasizes doctrine. It leads to doctrinal ignorance when you de-emphasize doctrine, the importance of it. That opens the door, you might say. It leads to doctrinal ignorance of what we should know. Doctrinal ignorance leads to this one world church that we have today, you know, that body that's out there that you really can't see it, you can't identify it. And what happened to the local New Testament church, the truth of that? You go to most, even so-called Baptist churches today, and you look at their statement of faith, if you can, online, you don't want to go over there, but you can look and find out what do they believe about the church. That's usually when, after I was saved and after I was brought up in the truth of the local New Testament church, and wherever I went, I don't know why, I was always interested to find out, well, who's teaching truth out there about the church? You don't find that church truth. You don't. Now, there's more to teaching than just the church, I understand. But if you don't start with a foundation, you don't know where you... The de-emphasizing of doctrine is very, very scary today. You have the divide, not only de-emphasizing of doctrine, you have the dividing of doctrine, like in Ephesians 4, verse 3 down to verse 6. Endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Our Lord is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one kind of, right? I mean, there's only one Lord, there's only one faith, and there's only one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, of all the saints, that is. So we find here there's this end of sound doctrine going on. You know, we need to have the defense of the truth. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, here's what Paul said, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, our liberty that we have, walk in the liberty that we have. I like it what he says in chapter 5 of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, you know, stand fast in the liberty that we have. And watch out, people will put you back into bondage. Of what you believe, that they might bring us into bondage. That's what they're doing. Paul, I continue in Paul, Galatians 2, verse 4 and 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, not for a minute, really, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The truth of it, say, the gospel, there's many gospels out there. There's many teachings of Christ as this, that, and the other. But really, what does the Bible say? There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Christ. Amen? And so just 2 Peter 2:2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. 2 Timothy chapter 3:8. Now Jannes and Jambres, that two magicians that withstood Moses there, you remember that, So do these also, Paul talks about, like it was back in the day of Moses, you know, here Moses ready to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. And here comes the Pharaoh's two hitmen, you know. He calls behind the curtain, hey, boys, come on out here. And they challenged, you know, they put down their sticks and, you know, turned into snakes. And the Moses said, hey, that's nothing. Hey, Aaron, let me see your rod here. And it turned into a snake that ate their snakes, you know. And what a show that must have been. But we're not into the snake business, okay? For certain, yeah. But as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate. And so we need the defense of the gospel, the truth. It is the truth that we ought to stand fast for, that we are standing fast for. We need to continue in the faith that was once delivered. And you not only have the defense of the truth here Paul brings out, but also the persecution, as he goes on to say in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And Paul was persecuted for the truth's sake. He was. Why did he go through all that? Rejection and persecution. Why? It was the persecution of the truth. It wasn't Paul as a person as much as what he was saying, what he was proclaiming, what he was holding forth, the truth that sets men that are captive by Satan, that of course he doesn't, Satan wants to keep them in bondage, but there's this persecution going on of the truth today, and it's really going to show its ugly face. It's just starting to in America, sad to say. We are in the last days. We are. But what about the protection of the truth? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, stand therefore fast, having your loins girt about with what? With truth. With truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, which is the breastplate that God has given us, and the sword of the Spirit for our defense. And what about the not only the persecution that we see Paul went through, and so do the saints of God. If you stand fast for the truth and everybody loves you, boy, I tell you, you need to re-examine what you're preaching. I mean, we don't want to be hated or rejected. Nobody wants that. But if we stand, you know, Christ said if they did it in a green tree, what do you think is going to happen to you? And that green tree, of course, Christ talking about himself. If they persecuted me, John 15, what do you think? In the world, you're going to have tribulation, sure enough. But the protection of the truth is our responsibility. Gird up your loins with truth. And because there's this rejection of truth that's going on today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 and verse 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that are perishing, it says perish, but the tense is, the verb is, they are perishing, it's going on, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They were told the truth, but they didn't receive the love. They didn't have a love for it, and they rejected it. This is the rejection of truth, the persecution of truth, and we are to have the protection of it, amen? By all means, right? Because like in 1 Timothy 3, we're in Timothy here. If you look at the third chapter, verse 15, but as long as I tarry long, I quoted it already, that you might, Timothy, know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church, the living God. The church of the living God is what? He says it's the pillar and ground of the truth. So for truth's sake, that's what you might say, like John says in his third epistle, is it there? For truth's sake, but this is the pillar of the truth right here. This church, we have the pillar, and you have it in your hand. And this church was established on what you have in your hand. And it needs to continue that, what we have there. No matter what comes our way, we cannot compromise, we can't bow. We can't bend and we won't burn either. But anyway, there's this dividing of this truth that Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, to the Lord, first of all. Before anybody goes out and talks to anybody, you know, prove that God, what you are to present, that you have the truth, that you are rightly dividing the truth. That's what Paul told Timothy. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, Timothy, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and we would be if we don't rightly divide the word of truth. So there is the dividing of it. What about the discernment of truth? We see so much mentioned about truth. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We do not the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is definitely not in us. See, because the truth came to reveal, to expose, that we are sinners and that we have a sinful nature that will be dealt with upon our the arrival of the Lord. Are we going to be with him, or he comes to be here today in our conscious awareness that we are in right now, that the Lord comes? It'll be a transformation, because he's coming for those who love the truth, who love the Lord, who's given us this truth. So there is this discernment, he says, but also the love of this truth. The first John goes on to say in the third chapter, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen? What is so much about truth that's written in the Bible? What is he talking about? Stand fast in the truth whereby we've been set free. Amen? The truth of the gospel, that is. And so we fellowship. 2 John 1:1 says, the elder of the elect lady and her children, the elder unto her and their children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, that is, the saved folks. 3 John 1:1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Isn't it amazing that John mentions so much? If you do a study and look in first epistle of John, the gospel of John, first epistle, second and third, how much John talks about truth. Yeah. It all starts even in the gospel, in that first chapter. So there's this love of the truth that we have. John says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In truth. And then there's this fellowship of the truth that John speaks about in 2 John chapter 1, verse 4. Did I say 2 John chapter 1? There's only, wait, hold on there. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. Man, if there's something that made John excited and happy and thrilled greatly, rejoiced greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. Not only having the truth, but walking in the truth. That means obedience. The truth is given that we might obey him. That is true. Amen. And so we find not only that, but the rejoicing that is the result of it, this truth. 3 John 4th verse there, I have no greater joy that my children, that my children walk in truth. Already repeated that, sorry. But the salvation of the truth is very important. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound, and this was one of our favorite verses. I know our pastor, it's one of his favorites. In fact, you'd be pressed to try to find any of the Bible that's not his favorite, which is good. You know, he's a man of the word. I had somebody tell me this. I was going doing a visiting at a hospital. One of my church members was in there about ready to have a kidney removed. And I got up to the desk to find out exactly where they have her. And all of a sudden, there was somebody that came in. It was a priest. And I need to behave myself. I really should, with all men, no matter who they are. But she says, Pastor, have you met Father so-and-so? I said, no. And I went to reach my hand down. I said, hi, I'm Father Malo. And he didn't like that. And I thought, well, you know. But it's true. I'm more father than he is, I think, unless, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, that when that lady was telling him that I am a man of, she says, oh, here's a man of the cloth. And I said, no, I'm a man of the book. I'm not a man of the cloth all dressed up like you don't know where you're going. Okay. But salvation, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is that we're sinners and that we need to be saved by God's grace. So there's the end of sound doctrine. It's charity out of a pure heart. The end of sound doctrine is of a good conscience. The end of sound doctrine is faith unfeigned. And I can go on. I've got so much to talk about this, and I'm not going to do that. And because, you know, there are men that are not doctrinally sound. That's why Paul told Timothy that in verse 1 there that we read, you know. He talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Paul mentions Christ. He starts out and he ends with the author of truth. You know, the author and finisher of our truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is truth. And he is in truth embodied. And he is truth that is eternal. And so there is this departure from the faith that is warned about. Look at 1 Timothy 4, and we'll close with just a couple of thoughts really quick here. As I've done a study about doctrine and departure of the faith over there, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that is, speaks expressly. And you know, Christ said, I will send a comforter, the paraclete, the one who will go alongside of you. He'll guide you into all truth. He says the Spirit speaks expressly. In other words, emphatically, very important here. That in the latter times, here we are, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let's read on. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Speaking. These folks are active. They're speaking. They're in pulpits, podiums. They're taking the stand for leading and guiding people. You know, if the blind lead the blind, they're all going to fall in the ditch. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, and that's just a few things way back in Paul's days, the Holy Spirit says, that in latter times, and here we are, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, Peter had a little problem with that over there back in Acts chapter 10, remember, with about ready to go to see Cornelius. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's guiding him over there. God had a purpose with Cornelius and his whole household. That's amazing. That he must hear the words of truth that he might thereby be saved. Cornelius had to hear truth. If you're going to have truth, you got to have a preacher that preaches the truth. And so Peter, and when God had a dream, Peter had a dream, and God let down in that dream, you remember the animals and various animals, you know. And of course, you know, Peter woke up and, you know, God said, here, eat, you know, and Peter said, oh, I'm a Jew. I don't do that kind of stuff. we're forbidden to eat certain meats, you know. What God hath cleansed and God says is clean and pure, don't you say that it is defiled. And so Peter had to learn, because of his Jewish background and tradition that he had, he had to break it from there to come to an understanding of what the Old Testament's all about, as Paul plainly states, because he was a student of the Old Testament, but it took the Holy Spirit to enlighten him to know the truth of the Old Testament, you know. And Peter came along. Peter talks about Paul over there in 2 Peter chapter 3 at the very end. He said, Paul, which Paul even speaks about things that are just hard to be utterly spoken about, you know. That guy's deep in theology. That's what Peter was basically saying there, wasn't he? He was. He's deep in truth. And Peter said, man, there's no doubt about this guy is really gone and deep, man. We don't want to get so deep that we can't stand up for truth, come back out of that where we've been into the depths of truth, but holding forth the words of truth, amen? So there's this departure of the faith from the faith. It's identified. Depart. What is it to depart from the faith? Well, first, you've got to identify the faith in order to distinguish objective and subjective faith. And I'm not going to get into that right now. I think I'm getting a little bit too far there. But to depart from the faith is to apostatize from true doctrine and to teach contrary to what doctrine God gave us, to teach contrary to the Word of God. That's basically what it's saying there, the Holy Spirit. Departure from the faith, it's identified, it's prophesied, and I want you to see this over here. Now the Spirit expressly, that is in stated terms, without vagueness there, says that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. The Holy Spirit moved Paul to declare that from among yourselves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. They want to get to your people and follow to be their people. Right? That's what he's saying. And that's in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. I'm sorry I didn't give you the reference that Paul said to the church as he gathered the elders from, he's over at Miletus, he gathers the elders from Ephesus. Come on over. I'm not going to have time to stop there in my travel this way. So come over here. I want to have some, I may not see you again, you know. And how true Paul knew where his end was going to be, you know. So who was it? Brother Jones, Bob Jones used to say down at Clarksville, he said, you know, when the Apostle Paul would go to a new town, he never tried to find out where Holiday Inn was. He really found out where the local jailhouse was because he knew he was going to end up there by the end of the day, you know. That's where he's going to be. But departing from the faith, that was not only identified here by the Holy Spirit, but prophesied of what they're going to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's turn there and look at verse 17. I'll give you an idea for example here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17. Notice what he says in verse 17. Now, their word, let's back up. Now, after Paul told Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God, then in verse 16 he says, shun profane vain babblings, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Man, it just gets worse. In verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, now he named a couple of these dudes, right, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past. You don't have a resurrection, you ain't got a salvation. The resurrection was the proof of the pudding, I tell people. I mean by that without the resurrection, you don't have a salvation. If Christ didn't rise, our faith is in vain, like Paul just alliterated out there over in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, your faith is vain, your life is worthless, we're all like other men, we're going to die. Tomorrow we might as well eat and drink, because tomorrow we die. As the stupid philosophers used to say. But Paul said, no, we live in Christ. But he goes on to say in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker. And he mentions these two guys, man. It's prophesied back in 1 Timothy 4 there. The Holy Spirit prophesied it, identified it. But this prophecy, departure from the faith, is a present reality. We're living in it, right? Today, there's this departure from the faith. We're basically in 1 Timothy there. But we find that, what are the marks of these apostates? Well, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, devils. We're reminded that the first woman gave heed to a deceiving spirit, Satan, back in Genesis 3, right? Paul elsewhere writes, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? That really made me wonder there. I don't want you to go somewhere where it's not, okay? I have to make sure I give the right reference here. Yeah, it's 2 Corinthians. I got down 1 Corinthians way ahead. Footnote, Mal, footnote, okay. It's second. I knew it was 2 Corinthians. I don't know why I put 1 Corinthians. Okay, so I had to correct my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 over there, 11, chapter 11, verse 3. Paul reminds us that meant the minds are going to be corrupted by the simplicity that's in Christ, right? Paul says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent, that's the devil, deceived Eve way back yonder by his craftiness, so also your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. People will get you off the simple fact of Christ Jesus saves, not only that, but how he saves and how long he saves and forever, the truth he's given us that we might know him, that is true truth. So giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, there's a departure characterized. Second thing is they're spreading lies and hypocrisy, he goes on talking about. They who depart from the faith, they declare as truth what they know as to be lies. They know it's lies. What they're telling you is not the truth, and they know it. They're just like the devil, man, in the beginning, to deceive souls. Don't believe everything you hear. The book. Like the little boy says, chapter and verse, please. Apostates deliberately lie about God's love, right? They know that God's word expressly identifies certain people who are wicked and therefore justly hated by the Lord. So I can't give you all the passages, so many I've got here, but God's power and salvation, these apostates deliberately lie about it, about God's power to save. If he can save you today and you can get lost tomorrow, must be God doesn't have enough power. People that teach apostasy from the faith, apostasy from salvation, they are apostates themselves. And twofold, fit for hell. Apostates deliberately lie about Christ's saving death. They deliberately lie about man's spiritual bondage and inability. Talk about the will of man. I was listening last night. I don't know. You run across all kinds of haywire stuff. And some guy's got a podcast and he's on Facebook. And I thought, what in the world? He sounded good at first until I started listening to him more. He was giving in a conference room and a lady gets up and he said, now this thing about sovereignty of God, these folks that believe like Calvinism and they believe that, you know, that man doesn't have a free will. What do you say? You know, and he said, well, God would be wrong to condemn a soul that doesn't have a free will. And I thought, oh boy, this boy, here he goes. Why don't you tell the truth that we are so in bondage to sin and so dead in trespasses and sins. That's what Paul said. We're dead. Dead people can't do anything. But they still have the responsibility. And here, it's no magic trick that when we present the gospel to sinners, you are so much in bondage, you don't realize, And before they can come to the truth of salvation, they're going to have to come to the truth about their sin. Woe is me, for I'm a man undone, unclean in every which way. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You hit on those two over there Wednesday night. And I thank you for that because it inspired me a little bit there. You hit on verses, Pastor, that really helped me. Thank you. Remind so much. They forbid to marry. Oh, marriage is honorable above all and the bed undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. They nevertheless claim that virginity and celibacy are better than marriage and prohibit certain people, like priests, from becoming married. Well, I don't need to say any further on that, do I? Commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. If you instruct the brethren in all these things, verse 6, if Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, if you instruct brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. We want to minister the truth, amen. Be a good minister. Nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Amen. So there is the imperative, the end of sound doctrine, a warning against those who depart from doctrine. You know, what's the importance of doctrine? I mean, the reasons to study doctrine. Doctrine leads to love. It leads to humility. It leads to obedience. Amen. And it leads to unity and worship and safety. Safety. There is safety in the truth. Stand with the truth. Amen. Hey, that's it. Thanks. I got 2 minutes, but I'm going to quit. I don't have 2 minutes. I'm supposed to quit at what, 5 till? So he's over. Thank you for your undivided attention.